I love food. We had macaroni every Sunday, and my mother's gravy sauce was the best. Isn't every Italian mother's sauce the best? Food was celebration. Food was joy. Food was conversation. Food was laughter. To sit around the table for 6 hours with a few television and bathroom breaks was a standard operating procedure for my big fat Italian family. I ate out recently at an Italian restaurant that was the real deal. The waiter had a thick accent. Frank Sinatra was playing, and the maitre d' came by to offer a warm welcome. Signora, how you do tonight? Ah, the familiar sound brought tears to my eyes. I wanted to kiss and hug him, even though he had a scruffy beard. What Italians call la dolce vita, the sweet life, has always held great appeal for me. My colorful, boisterous, and emotionally erratic family birthed in me a ferocious appetite for abbondanza. Abundance, plenty, more of everything. More food, more music, more dancing, more jokes, more arguments, more tears, more heartache, more laughter, just more. As I continued to grow up, I became the dreamer of the family who believed that la dolce vita was actually attainable and sustainable. That illusion really was over the rainbow, because life, of course, contains both the bitter and the sweet. When sorrow not only rained but poured, I became more and more disillusioned, even depressed. It wasn't until young adulthood that I learned about God's version of la dolce vita, his bold statements about the abundant life and what I could feel and experience in my deepest soul, regardless of circumstances, buoyed me. Whether in joy or pain, I could possess supernatural virtues and enjoy sweet communion with my Creator from now into eternity. The sweet life was no longer out of reach. As a child of God, I only needed to lift my sights and remember that every promise He has made is a promise kept. The sweet life is no longer a party or a place or people that are fond of me on a certain day. La dolce vita is within me because the Holy Spirit has decided to miraculously dwell there. I visited friends and family on Long Island recently. My good friend Salvatore Massa picked me up to have a Sunday dinner with the Aniellos. Linny had promised me pasta and sausage and meatballs, so my mouth was watering in anticipation of a good Italian home-cooked meal. Since moving south, please excuse me, my southern friends, I crave what I took for granted in New York. Ah, a bagel store and pizzeria on every corner, Italian delis and bakeries available to your heart's content. But now I often hear, there's a good Italian restaurant in. Need I say more? I never go over for a meal at someone's home without bringing something. Mama Tricoli instilled that in me when I was a little girl. It's rude to show up with nothing in your hands, Kathleen. So I asked Sal to stop at a bakery before we dined at the Aniello's house. When we walked into Villa Bella's, I was immediately enveloped by the sights and smells, long loaves and short loaves and round loaves of bread, the kind that is perfectly crusted on the outside and soft and warm on the inside. The shelves of the glass counters were lined with pastries, and coffee was perking, and espresso was brewing, all reminders of the spread on the table through most of my childhood. I bent down as my eyes feasted on the colors and textures of the cannolis and pignoli cookies and Napoleons. My visual ecstasy was interrupted when bursting from the kitchen came a tiny Italian woman smiling from ear to ear and wearing an apron spotted with flour.
Sally boy, how you do? You want to taste anything? Mangia, here, eat.
As I more than tasted and Sal engaged this generous soul in animated conversation, I was taken by her hard-working hands and her soft heart. Inviting, warm, stuff that makes the world go round. I miss that kind of abandon in greeting others. I wanted to hug her and take her home. In the midst of cell phones and emails...